gentlemen, let's go. Let's go. We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go. Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
The Zone is presented by Guarantee Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, a Thursday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Dylan Michaels. We head up until 2 o'clock. The next 4 hours, we've got you. Boy, a lot of stuff to get into today. Busy, jam-packed show with a number of different things to talk about today. We will talk with Kent Swanson coming up at 11 o'clock, an hour from now, kcsn.substack.com, the KC Laboratory Podcast, KC Sports Network. We'll talk with him at 11 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs, get his thoughts on free agency, what the next moves may be for the Chiefs, and if there are any other players that were on the Chiefs last year that may be returning to the team this next year, maybe specifically defensive players, and then the new kickoff rule, etc., what the Chiefs may or may not do. We will talk about that with Kent Swanson. We'll get a little rugby talk with Kent Swanson because Louis Riez-Zamet, you big fan, Dylan? Familiar with Louis's work? Or Luis?
Yeah, I'm going to get a new jersey, actually.
There you go. No, he's not from New Jersey. He's Welsh.
Oh, no. I mean, I have to update the jersey now. I have to wait for the number to come out.
The Riez-Zamet on the back. Riez-Zamet. You know, he's 6'3", 209. Apparently, he runs a 4'4". We'll see. You know what? Throw a dart. You know, he was working out for a couple of teams, and the Chiefs decide to sign him. Pick him up, put him on your practice squad, or have him there for workouts. What's the worst that can happen? You move on from him. You look at him, put on some pads, see what he looks like, and if he doesn't look like a football player and looks like a rugby player trying to play football, you move on.
Might work for the new kickoffs, though.
I mean, the guy can run and kick at the same time. I mean, in rugby, if you're able to run, drop the ball, kick it a little bit, have it roll, bounce up, pick it up, run, punt it. You know, rugby-style kickers, we see that all the time in the NFL. But, you know, this guy could go and cover kick. There it is. That's what Dave Tobe wants. This is the guy for Dave Tobe. It's the Dave Tobe guy. He will now be doing kickoffs. He'll be kicking off and then covering. Because that's what you need. You need the guy who's going to be kicking the ball, the kicker, to also go down and cover kicks. You know, you don't need a Harrison Butker to do that, which makes him so much less valuable, too. So now, do you cut Harrison Butker? Do you say that on kickoffs if you're not going to use him there? Not sure. But we'll talk some rugby football with Kent Swanson, the Welsh rugby player. You know what? When you look at his highlights, you know what you don't see, Dylan? You know what you don't see in his highlights? Well, there's a lot of things probably NFL related you don't see.
A forward pass?
You don't see a hip drop tackle at all.
Oh,
I mean, there
yeah.
It is. So they bring him in to teach guys about it. You know, you guys banned the hip drop tackle last year. Come on in. Let's sign you so you can explain. How do you tackle somebody without grabbing them by the waist and then swiveling your body and picking up your body weight and then landing on their legs? How could you possibly get a player down without doing that? Let's go get a rugby guy who had to deal with it. What do you think? Well, I was mainly an offensive guy, and I was running with the football. We'll give you a shot anyway. We'll see what we got anyway. You know, turns out 6'3", 209. You run a 4'4". Is that electronic time? Does that stopwatch? I don't know. But we'll talk some rugby with Kent Swanson. Probably not. We'll at least talk about that. I mean, I do think there's an interest to it. You know. But we'll do that at 11 o'clock. We will hear from J.J. Piccolo today. He will be having a press conference. We'll hear from J.J. Piccolo, Royals general manager. We'll hear from Matt Quatrero as they are getting set for opening day. And Q talked yesterday at the press conference after Cole Reagan's. And today starts the time where Matt Quatrero will be talking twice a day. throughout the season. We get you before the game, we get you after the game, Q. And if it's a nationally televised game, going to get you during the game as well. But Matt Quatrero will be talking today. J.J. Piccolo, we'll hear from them as it is opening day. And we'll get some sports or leisure in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll still have some NCAA tournament questions. And, of course, we will have some opening day questions about the Royals, specific opening day Royals questions. We'll do that. There's a trivia question I will not ask because I don't expect anybody to know the answer to it. I just thought it was sort of interesting. I saw it this morning that...
Well, Avery, he'll know it.
Avery will probably know
he'll
it,
know
yes.
It,
if they were on Twitter today, maybe.
Mortals will not know.
Yeah, that's true. Cole Reagans is the second pitcher ever to start opening day after suffering or going through two different Tommy John surgeries. He's the second pitcher ever to do that. The other one is a guy who's starting opening day today for the Rangers, and that is Nathan Eovaldi, his former teammate. So today you'll have two guys that are the only players ever to start opening day after going through two different Tommy John surgeries. Quirky little trivia there. It will not be on Sports or Leisure. We will not ask that one. But I thought that was interesting. And it shows you the path that Cole Reagans has gone on. And it also shows you that, you know, after one Tommy John surgery, yeah, it's tough to get back and get back rolling and get to where you were maybe before. After two, it can be a death sentence to your career, but not always. It doesn't have to be. And Cole Reagans and Nathan Eovaldi, guys that are pitching today on opening day for their respective teams, have both gone through two different Tommy John surgeries. Hopefully, you know what, for both their cases, it's the last one they go through, certainly, especially from a selfish, close standpoint, definitely for Cole Reagans. So Sports or Leisure presented by Johnny's Tavern coming up at 1 o'clock. Sterling Holmes will hang out with us in the 1 o'clock hour, and he will have the leisure side. 913-912-4810 is the text line. 913-912-4810 text line. We'll get to your text throughout the show while it is opening day, and we'll talk about opening day here in the first segment. Do want to let everybody know, tonight, starting at 6 o'clock, our NCAA Tournament Sweet 16 coverage. We'll be rolling along right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got the Clemson and Arizona game. We've got the San Diego State and UConn game. Those are the first games out of the gate tonight. And then, of course, it'll be wrapping up with Alabama, North Carolina, and then the final game tonight, Illinois and Iowa State. Maybe the most intriguing matchup of the night because of the different approaches and the different styles that will be on the floor in the number one offense in America in KenPom in Illinois against the number one defense in America at KenPom in Iowa State. Two very conflicting styles of how they are going to play ball on the court, and we'll see who wins out. Typically, I will go with the offensive side. I'll go with the team that can score. We'll find out. We'll find out tonight. That game, well, I believe tip-off for that game is like 8:45 tonight, 9:09, like I said. 9:09 is when that game gets underway. Clemson and Arizona at 6:09, right here on Sports Radio 810. And then San Diego State, UConn. And we'll see if UConn can keep rolling through the tournament like they did a year ago. San Diego State, a team that they played in the national championship last year, I don't think San Diego State has much for them tonight. We'll find out, though. 913-912-4810, because as we know, it takes one night of just having a bad night. Doesn't mean that you're the better team. It can mean you're the better team on that night. The Raiders were not better than the Chiefs last year. We know that. But on Christmas Day, they were better. They were better than the Chiefs on that day. Chiefs were clearly better as the season went along. I think UConn's the better team, but that will not matter at the end of 40 minutes if San Diego State is the better team tonight. We'll find out. 913-912-4810 is the text line. 913-912-4810, text line to be a part of the show. We will certainly get into a little bit of the matchup and talk some college basketball today as we'll find out who's going to be playing in the Elite Eight on Saturday. And then tomorrow night, of course, we'll have those games for you right here on Sports Radio 810. Again, all the games you can hear on 810, you can hear on ESPN Kansas City. And tomorrow night, NC State, Marquette, Gonzaga, Purdue, Duke, Houston, Creighton, Tennessee. I wish you could take one of those games and make it tonight. Sorry, UConn, San Diego State. Sorry, Clemson, Arizona. But tomorrow night, the final three games of the Sweet 16 should be some doozies. Gonzaga, Purdue, Duke, Houston, and Creighton, Tennessee. Should be so much fun coming up tomorrow night. It is opening day in Major League Baseball. It is opening day. We are, man, I am so pumped. I am so pumped for opening day today. I'm going to start off with a quick complaint, though. Opening day, pumped. Why do we got to wait till 2 o'clock to have a game? Why do we got to wait till 3 o'clock Eastern time is the first game today? 2:05 Central time, Angels and Orioles. By the way, the Orioles opening day, 2 days after we had the tragedy with the bridge and the Key Bridge there in Baltimore. But Angels and Orioles get things underway today at 2 o'clock. We need a nooner. We need a noon game. We need to be 2 hours away from watching opening day baseball. There are a couple of complaints in Major League Baseball that I have when it comes to afternoon games. Opening day, I wish we could have games earlier in the day. The other one is, I think Major League Baseball should schedule at least one afternoon game every single day. Every single day, there should be at least one afternoon game. To where at 1 o'clock, you could be looking at the scoreboard, watching or whatever, and you know, oh, there's a game on right now at 1 o'clock. Just somewhere scheduled across all of the games and all of the days that you play, all the different teams that are going to be playing that particular day, one of them.
I feel like in the past there was. Like, I feel like the Yankees always were the first team at, like, because it's 1 there, 12
yeah,
here.
Right. It always used to feel like it was early in the day that started. I don't know. Maybe that's how it typically is.
Baseball makes a lot of good decisions.
They do. And with it being opening day, it also becomes the anniversary and the yearly tradition of, hey, let me text in 913-912-4810. Hey, how do I watch the Royals this year? It's our yearly tradition. Of how do I watch the
There's
Royals?
There's an on-air way and an off-air way to watch the Royals this season, but Bally Sports package would be the on-air way to watch it, for sure.
So you've got, you can go to the game. A lot of people are going to be going to the game today. That's one way you can watch them. That's one way to check them out. You can have a certain cable or satellite provider that may have a
or
deal.
Or another service, yeah.
Or absolutely. Another service, right. I have YouTube TV, so I have had DirecTV in the past, and so I haven't had to worry about it. And then when it came to football season last year, I switched to YouTube TV because I wasn't watching the Royals anymore, so it did not matter not being able to see a Royals game. But this is as exciting of an opening day as I can remember in a while, and there is still a swath of the population that will not be able to watch the game unless they pay the Bally Sports Plus package, MLB TV, VPN, you know, different things that maybe you'll be able to do to, you know, work around certain things. I'm not really sure how people do it. I'm not a technology guy, right? I'm not a computer guy. I'm not a technology guy. I just talk for a living. All right, I don't typey-typey away, all right? I'm not good with the algorithms and the hardware and the software, right? No, I don't have the floppy disk, all right? I'll probably just pay the $20 to Bally Sports and watch it that way, you know? So much for saving money on the YouTube TV.
Right.
You're saving money.
Cutting the cable.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, go back to, it's one of the things that I talked about at the time when people were like, oh, no, I want to cut the cord. I'm going to do this. I'm going to save all this money. Okay. Well, then you get your regular provider. And now you got the Disney Plus.
Yep.
Now you got the ESPN Plus.
Netflix.
Now you got the Netflix.
Yeah.
Now you got the Amazon. Now you got the Hulu. Now you got the Apple TV Plus. Now you got Bally Sports Plus if you want to go and check that out. Remember when it was all in one spot?
Yeah.
That was cool, man.
Yeah, yeah. One price as well.
That was pretty neat. Mm-hmm. All jumbled together. So yeah, opening day going on today. There are ways you can watch the game. And there was a tease that took place in the off season of they are going to be streamed on Amazon Prime. The Royals will not be. They'll be on Bally's. So, yeah. Texas 913-912-4810. And yes, this is something that came to mind when I was talking about being better that night. Texas, you're saying a team can be better that night, but that doesn't make them the better team? Bringing back some Solomon Wilcots flashbacks? A little bit, yes. That's always what comes to mind. Texas, Jason, you're telling me Harry Carey isn't still doing afternoon Cubs games? God, I wish. I wish he was. That would be great. 913-912-4810. All right, let's get into Royals and opening day. Look, we'll play some clips this hour from John Sherman in the press conference yesterday. Some of the things about the renderings, the new stadium plans, his press conference yesterday, keeping Oak Street open. We'll discuss how that happens and how that happens. We'll discuss it, but quick preview, no idea. No clue how that's going to happen. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. When's the last time you've been this excited for opening day? I was thinking about this this morning and, you know, I'm writing things down, and I went through every single position for the Royals, who started opening day last year versus who's starting today, and I want to do this exercise with you, Dylan. Not this second, but I know you're doing some stuff with Drake right now. But I want to do this exercise here in a second of going through every positional starter last year's opening day versus this year's opening day. Did they get better, worse, or stay the same? We can even look at the starting staff, too, the five, you know, starting staff, five players there, five pitchers there. So that would be 14 different spots that the Royals have. I didn't include DH. Maybe I should. But I did not include DH. Maybe I go back and include DH because, you know what? I'll include DH too. What the heck? Let's do that. I'll include the DH as well. And the DH last year starting for the Rawls was Franmil Reyes. Yeah, let's do DH. I think we're good with DH. I don't think that would skew. I think it would skew one way, but probably in the way that I was kind of thinking it would anyway. But let's do some DH, too. You know what? Let's play chess. No, let's do that. When's the last time you've been this excited about opening day?
Maybe 2017? 2016 was like the last season of the 2015 championship team.
Those are the first two that came to mind.
Yeah.
First two that came to mind. But then I started this morning sort of looking back and thinking of different opening days and conversations around it. I landed on 2016. And this is the most excited I've been since 2016 because, look, the rings, the ceremony, everything, and you know, feeling like you got to the top of the mountain, and it's the first time since that amazing playoff run and being out there at Kauffman that you get to go back out there as well. And 2017 was still sort of the remnants of that, but we were all sort of still reeling from Ace's death. And, you know, that sort of had that sort of a black cloud over it to a degree. And so it brought the excitement level down. And so I think it's 2016. I think it's almost been a decade since there's been this much excitement around opening day. I hope we don't end up like last year, the disaster of the 7-22 start in March and April. I don't think that'll be the case because I think this team is good by evidence of us doing the exercise of going through and looking at the different positions. But I landed on 2016 is the last time I've had this much excitement leading into an opening
day. I'll agree with that. Yeah, that's probably the one I should. Yeah.
No, I mean, you land on the two, like 16 and 17.
Your ceremony point is perfect.
Yeah.
That was fun to watch all that. And the gold jerseys, everything like that, mm-hmm. That was fun.
I would have said, honestly, 17 as the most recent one you had this excitement. But, you know, with the backdrop of,
right.
You know, the passing away of Giordano, that, you know, put a damper on 2017's opening day. So as far as like the expectations of the team and how good they can be, I would say 2017. As far as like the day overall and what today can be and the excitement around it, and the hope springs eternal of, hey, this team can go out there and compete, which is a nice change. Like 16, it's like, can they go out there and win it again? Like, you know, they're good enough to do it. Can they go out there and win it again? And you get to celebrate and just embrace all year long being the reigning World Series champions. Being the reigning World Series champions. Such a great ring to it. And had no idea that, you know, that March of 2016, we were 1 year, 13 months away from the city changing again and drafting Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that opening day of 2016, 13 months later, they draft Patrick Mahomes, and the rest, as they say, is history. Like, what a great couple of years in that 2016. And, of course, 2017 opening day, it was, you know, just a few weeks away from Patrick Mahomes being drafted. But, you know, looking back at the time, it was like, when are we going to experience this ever again? Chiefs, you know, they've got some nice teams, but are they ever going to be good enough to win the Super Bowl? Man, just win some playoff games. Win a home playoff game, man.
And if they wanted, it'd be like one time.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be the
right
dynasty that
yeah
it is now.
And it would feel like the Royals a little bit. Hey, they won one. Can they do it again? But
right,
we know this is sort of a special group, and this group's probably not going to stay together. So enjoy it while you can. Texas, saw a group of people up here in St. Joe dressed in all Royals blue gear. They were loading the barbecue grill and coolers. Yeah, those days are numbered. I mean, what are they talking about, the new stadium or whatever going down? I think you could still enjoy that. But, you know, again, Royals baseball is not Chiefs football with the tailgating and everything like that. Let's take a timeout, come back. We'll get into the exercise of looking through the starting position players, DH, opening day last year versus opening day today. We'll look at the starting staff and see which positions did the Royals get better. Did they get worse? Are they even a year ago? And sort of look at it from that perspective, because there are only seven players of the 26-man roster this year. There are only seven players returning that were on the opening day roster last year for the Royals. It is a brand new club out there at Kauffman Stadium. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Dylan Michaels. Hey, big shout out to Google Fiber as well, because if you will be streaming the games, as I will be streaming the games, you need that internet provider that is going to offer you the best bandwidth and the ability to have all of the different ways and different TVs that you may have going on and different devices that are running on it as well. Award-winning internet without data caps, annual contracts, or hidden fees. Now available up to 5 gigs and the 1 gig internet, same price since 2012. It is Google Fiber, and enough unlimited internet for everyone in your home and all of the devices. And if you're going to be streaming the games with the Royals, if you don't have the cable provider or the satellite provider that has Bally's, then you'll need that internet provider like Google Fiber, which we have. A couple of texts coming in, 913-912-4810. Text says, I think the Royals will win the opener. Will it be enjoyable to watch? I hope so. I got money on Royals winning the opener. That's how excited I am. I'm pumped. All right, go to DraftKings. They're plus 105 there. Right, got a little same-game parlay with Cole Reagan strikeouts and Bobby Witt Jr., a stolen base and a total base and Royals money line, huh? Let's have a little fun here today out there at the K. Let's do it, man. Let's get started. I certainly hope so. My wallet hopes so. DraftKings, get a $5 bonus bet just for betting any Major League Baseball game. Boom, $5 bonus bet. See what happens. Texas, is there a way we can get them on TV through the stadium deal? That's right. Vote yes, and you also will have the Royals available to you locally in the market. Text says, will the Royals be on Amazon Prime? They will not. That was a tease, at least for the Royals. Text says, weren't you pumped last year? How'd that work out? Not very well, but I'm pumped every year. But like I said, this is as excited I've been since 2016 for legitimate reasons. And with that, let's go ahead and go through this exercise as to why last year and this year, hopefully, I'm available to have my heart broken. You know, like last year, you know, don't cry because it happened. Smile because it was over. Isn't that the saying, right?
Yeah, let me fact check that here, but I think that's correct.
That's the saying for last year to me. Royals 2023. Don't cry because it's over. Oh, don't cry because it happened. Smile because it's over. Now we head into 2024. All right, I don't want to go through the lineup of what we think or who will bat first, second, third. I'm just going to go through the position players and see better, worse, or roughly the same. So here we go. First base, Vinny Pascantino. Last year, Vinny Pascantino this year. I could see where it would be an equal, but I'm going to say better. They got better because of a healthy Vinny Pascantino, and I'm going to take his word for it that he had been battling the injury throughout the first half, and then it just gave way. I'm going to take his word for it. So I'm going to say it's an improvement. But if somebody says the same, I will not argue. Dylan, improvement or the same?
Yeah, I'll go improvement. Okay. I agree with you.
All right. Second base, Michael Massey last year, Adam Frazier this year. I'm going to decrease. I'm going to decrease because I know what Adam Frazier is, and he's a fine ball player, but he's not going to give you much. But Michael Massey's on the IL. That's why he's not starting at second base today. Again, I'm assuming Adam Frazier is starting at second base and not Nick Lofton. I'm going to go ahead and say Adam Frazier is going to be your second baseman today. But I'm going to say that's a downgrade. For game number one, Massey to Frazier. What say you?
I think I'll go same, maybe.
Okay, all right.
I think he'll
maybe
have a similar,
maybe equal.
Similar right. Season.
Similar. But again, it's just one day. Hopefully Massey gets back, and maybe it's Nick Lofton at the end of the season. We go, hey, second base was an improvement off last year from even what Michael Massey did. Third base, Hunter Dozier to Mikel Garcia. I think that's a pretty easy improvement, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty easy improvement. Shortstop, Bobby Witt to Bobby Witt. Same.
Yep.
Same. I Bobby Witt last year.
Maybe even better with the security of a long-term contract.
Right. But what we know about Bobby Witt, if we say feeling going into it, then it's improvement. I'm just talking about the player, though. And we know that Bobby Witt was seventh in MVP voting last year. So, and he's the sixth betting favorite this year. So I'm going to say that's the same. Salvi at catcher, I'm going to say that's the same. Equal. Dylan, you agree? Equal?
Yeah.
All right. This is one that I think could be debatable. Edward Olivares in left field and MJ Melendez in left field. I'm going to have a slight, and this is where I would be accused of being, you know, the ultra positive coming into play instead of just looking at it through how much is in the glass instead of glass half full, glass half empty. I'm going to lean improvement. I'm going to lean improvement, and it's a little bit of drinking the Kool-Aid and buying into MJ saying, you know, putting the catcher's gear away and just playing left field, and now he doesn't take the defensive switch to the plate with him, and he can just simply go out and play ball, worry about hitting when he's up there, worry about playing defense when he's out there because he's improved that much in practice. I'm going to lean improvement, but I will not argue one way or another. What do you say, Dylan?
I kind of say equal. And for the other one earlier, I said equal just because I feel like when I'm saying that, it's not going to be such a noticeable difference either way.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my point when I say like equal. So I'll say equal on this. Like you won't notice a massive difference on either player.
From Edo to MJ.
Yeah.
Center field, Kyle Isbell, same player. I mean, I'm going to say equal as well. Right field, MJ to Hunter Renfroe. That's got to be improvement. You don't go out and pay Hunter Renfroe if it's not improvement.
Right.
So I'm going that's an improvement.
Agree.
Including DH. This head better be an improvement. Franmil Reyes to Nelson Velazquez.
Yes.
That is an improvement. So I came away with 5 out of the 9 that are improvements, even if there's a slight lean, but 5 out of the 9 that are either slight improvements or a definite improvement. I had 3 that I thought were equals, Bobby Witt, Salvi, and Kyle Isbell, and 1 downgrade being Massey to Frazier. You had 1, 2, 3, 4 increases and 5 equals. So we traded the Massey and Frazier. being a downgrade to an equal for you.
You're probably right on that. I'm just
saying.
We'll see. Like, it could be a wash.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. If it's a wash while Massey's on the IL, then I'll take it.
That's a really good sign.
If Nick Lofton takes over and wins the job and Massey comes back and, you know, it's Wally Pipped, which I don't think Nick Lofton is that type of player, but then, hey, great too. Let's go through the starting staff. Greinke, opening day starter versus Cole Reagans. It's pretty.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty significant.
Now, sound bites, Greinke pitching. Yes. Reagans. Yes,
yes. We'll hear from Reagans plenty this year. If you haven't heard from Reagans, he doesn't elaborate very often, but that's fine. Number two starter, and I know that it's not how the weekend lines up. All right, but I'm going with who the best are in this rotation 1 through 5 versus what it was viewed last year. Number two starter, Jordan Lyles versus Michael Wacha. That's a massive improvement,
yes,
right? That's
yes.
a clear improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Brad Keller to Seth Lugo. Again, I think that's a pretty big improvement.
Yeah.
I'm going to go improvement.
Yep.
Singer to Singer, I'm going equal.
Yeah.
I mean,
you could even say improvement with, like, less pressure.
I hope so. Hopefully. And last year's World Baseball Classic and the talk about how that messed up his spring and it took him a while, his spring training. You know, Scott Sharp yesterday with the Border Patrol said, you know, Brady Singer's spring training was April last year because he didn't pitch with the World Baseball. He threw like one inning. Like, he would have had multiple starts and multiple innings and multiple work getting done. Instead, the World Baseball Classic, being with Team USA, he threw one inning. And that threw him off his what would be a regular ramp-up time. And then the fifth starter, Chris Bubich to Alec Marsh. I'm going downgrade here because Bubich was really good until he got injured. So I'm talking about entering the season. I don't know what that fifth starter is going to look like. Is it Alec Marsh? Is it Jordan Lyles? Over the course of the season, what we had, but what Chris Bubich was, and maybe somebody will look at it and go, nah, I want to look at the whole starting, that fifth start of the entire year, and if you get something decent out of Alec Marsh, it's going to be better. But last year, the fifth starter to start the season, Chris Bubich, was really good until, you know, he went down. So I'm going to go downgrade, but I won't argue either way with that one. I'm not, you know, digging my heels in the sand.
I'll agree with you on that.
Downgrade?
I liked Bubich, yeah.
So we agreed on the three upgrades, one downgrade, and one equal.
Yeah.
So I came away with, of the 9 positional players and the DH, that's 10, plus the 5 starters, you like 15 players. I came away with 8 of those being a clear increase out of the 15. 4 of those, hold on. Oh, I need 6. Sorry. 6 increases on offense. So 9 of the 15 are improvements. 4 are equals, and 2 downgrades. The downgrades that I have are second base, Massey to Frazier, and the fifth starter spot, Bubich to Marsh. And honestly, if those are the only 2 downgrades, you're talking about your fifth starter and your second baseman?
Yes, exactly.
As the only 2 downgrades? As opposed to first base, I'm counting on a healthier Vinny. Third base, Dozier to Garcia. Oliveras to MJ in left field. Again, I'm leaning towards the positive side. MJ to Renfro is a pretty easy one. Franmil to Reyes to Nelson Velasquez. That should be an improvement. And then Greinke to Reagans, Lyles to Wacha, Keller to Lugo. I mean, your top 3 starters and 5, 6 of your guys in your lineup are upgrades. It's massive. And that's where I look at this year is, you know, the excitement being since 2016. And by the way, there's nobody in the bullpen from last year's opening day to this year's opening day. The only person on the roster for the Royals this year that's in their bullpen is Jordan Lyles. He was a starter last year. He's the only guy. Every other bullpen piece is different. They revamped their entire bullpen. They revamped their starting staff. 4 new starters from a year ago. And obviously going out and adding some pieces on offense. This would be a much bigger disappointment. This would be as big of a disappointment in the last number of years if they started off rough. If they didn't come out and show that they were competitive. And even if it's, you know, hey, they dropped 2 of 3 to the Twins. Okay, did they lose 4-3? Did they lose 2-1? Did they lose, you know, 6-5? Did they win a game 8-3? You know, what was the rubber match on Sunday? You know, if they lose 2 of 3. Well, I guess it doesn't necessarily make it a rubber match. They could lose the first two and win Sunday, but you get the point. What's the one win? You know, when we're back here talking on Monday, what are the what's the opening weekend look like? And we're talking tomorrow, you know, opening day. It's always viewed as more than one game. It's one game, but it's always viewed as bigger. There's so much more to take away from that one nine-inning game that could go either way. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk with Kent Swanson coming up at 11 o'clock, some Chiefs football. I want to hear from John Sherman on the other side of the break, some things that he talked about at yesterday's press conference. We'll hear from J.J. Piccolo. He will have a press conference today. We'll hear from Matt Quattrero as well. We will play some sports or leisure today. More Zone right after this. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Dylan Michaels. We head up until 2 o'clock. We'll talk with Kent Swanson coming up at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. I do want to play at least one clip from yesterday. And so let's just play this clip real quick. Let's just play clip number one. Here from John Sherman. It's not that long of a clip, but it is something that we'll talk about and something that I am incredibly curious and fascinated by. The changes to the ballpark involving Oak Street, as John Sherman talked about yesterday.
There'll be discussion on the other side of April 2nd about that whole development. And basically, this what we said today is that we will keep Oak Street open. There'll be a series of discussions with the city council, and the businesses in the area as to how that will play out, you know, after April 2nd.
Look, we're going to keep Oak Street open. We'll discuss that after April 2nd as to how we're going to do that. Right? But how are you going to do that? It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Well, you know, your renderings, you know, Oak Street is warning track in right field, right? You're just going to leave Oak Street open. That's one hell of a dimension for a baseball field. That Oak Street actually will go right through right field to right center. Imagine trying to go and get a ball into right and then having to wait for traffic to finally get the ball that bounced over Oak. And then running and getting it. A lot of inside-the-park home runs, if you're going to do that, with Oak Street just running right through right field. Can't wait to see how they do it.